Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Arun Vanagopal in for Allison Stewart today. New York is in the midst of another heat wave with temperatures climbing. AC units are sure to be running at full blast all weekend. But there is another way the city could be cooler, with nature's AC, and by that I mean trees. Trees have been shown to reduce temperatures in cities. They help fend off flooding, and they improve mental and physical health, and they even help businesses. But a lot of neighborhoods here in the city are still lacking in substantial canopy cover, and some barriers to planting new trees can prevent quick progress on this issue. So let's talk about why planting trees is so important and what efforts are underway in New York to increase the number of trees we have here in the city. Joining me now is Emily Noble Maxwell, the New York City's program director for the Nature Conservancy. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Arun. So nice to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. Also joining me is Sam Bishop, the director of urban forestry and education at Trees New York. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Arun. Very happy to be joining you today.
And listeners, we want to bring you in on this conversation. What is the state of canopy cover in your neighborhood? Do you wish there were more trees? What state are these trees in? And what kind of greenery would you like to see more of in your neighborhood? Have you ever been involved in urban forestry or just advocating for it? We want to hear your thoughts about New York City trees. So give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. So, Emily and Sam, let's talk about trees in New York. I mean, just start off with a very basic question, Emily. Why are trees so important, especially in a city?
Sure. So trees are tremendously important in any city, and especially New York City. We have more than 7 million trees across our city, spanning public and private lands and all property types. Trees help to enhance our quality of life and improve public health. They clean the air, they provide shade and cooling, they can help reduce heat-related and respiratory illness. They help us adapt to climate change. They can absorb stormwater before it pollutes our water or causes flooding. They lower our emissions by reducing energy consumptions in building and storing and absorbing carbon. They provide food and habitat for awesome critters of all kinds, and they really offer us respite, solace, and beauty when we need it most.
So a couple things, looks like a couple of advantages to having a whole lot of trees. I mean, I remember like when the Million Trees NYC campaign started about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years under Bloomberg, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, did it do the job of planting a million trees?
It did. So, I mean, I'm so pleased to say that New York City did something tremendous and did accomplish planting a million trees between about 2007 and 2015. Now, New York City is covered by about 22% canopy. So about 22% of our land is covered by that beautiful, shady overstory of trees. At Forest for All NYC, which is a diverse coalition of many organizations which we're a part of, we know that where we want to be is at least 30% canopy. So a million trees were awesome, and it's time for more.
So Sam, let's talk about the heat island effect, and what did trees do in that respect to keep cities cool?
So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, the urban heat island effect is what happens when the sun shines on all the built surfaces in the city. So the asphalt, the concrete, bricks, everything like that. And that heats them up, and then they store heat, and then they release it all day and at night as well. So the urban heat island effect is actually surprisingly stronger at night. The city just winds up not cooling down. So trees help with that by shading those surfaces so they don't get as hot. And of course, if it's hotter, that means you have to run your air conditioner harder, more, and that results in more electricity use too.
And that's the crazy part about when you step out in the evening, you say, oh, finally, the heat's kind of gone down. But then you come back inside, depending, I guess, on what kind of building you live in, and it's just hot for hours after that. This is something that's really kind of hard to deal with when you are just wanting to cool down, but you can't obviously, well, I guess you're not necessarily one who sleeps out on the fire escape.
Exactly.
So Sam, I mean, I guess basically, like, how much of the city is actually, I mean, this is a lot of concrete. This city is, I don't know, is there some number or percentage in which how much of the city is covered in buildings?
Well, in that case, you would just sort of take our canopy cover number and subtract from that. You could think of it that way as the unshaded built portion of the city. So that's like the part that's most subject to that urban heat island effect. And then you'd be looking at a little under 80% of the city.
And Emily, I mean, let's talk a little more about, I guess, climate change. I mean, this is obviously something we're all concerned about. This is clearly also something that you're saying we can mitigate by simply planting trees.
Well, protecting the canopy we have is equally important to planting new trees. So first, we want to make sure what we already have is well cared for and maintained so we don't go through loss, and we want to plant more. But I will say, you know, planting trees and maintaining trees alone isn't sufficient, of course, to address climate change. We still need to be working heavily on mitigation, heavily on transit issues, you know, continuing to transition fuels to electricity and clean energy. So there are a lot of things, but our tree canopy does play a critical role in this and is a very important piece of both addressing climate change and also addressing urban heat island. And for those of you who wonder, well, why does this matter? So climate projections for New York City tell us that, you know, we are looking at 3 to 5 times the amount of hot days or heat waves by the 2080s. That could mean more heat illness, more heat death, loss of business activity, the whole range of things that comes along with heat waves. We're also looking at 1.5 times the amount of precipitation, which is a tremendous amount more water in a city that's already facing flooding.
All right, we've got some calls. Let's take a call from Janet. Hi, Janet. You're calling from Sunset Park in Brooklyn.
Hi, yes. I'm calling from Sunset Park. I was born and raised in the neighborhood, and I told your screener that I grew up in the part of the park that's covered by the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, so it's quite hot during the summer there. There's no shade, lots of car traffic, so, and requested a tree from New York City Parks and 311 over 2 years ago. And instead, the dead tree in front of my building was removed, but nothing was planted. And I do see a difference between like the planting of trees in that part of the neighborhood where the BQE covers much of the streets, and a difference with the part of the neighborhood where the park itself sits and the pool is. It's that part of the neighborhood is a lot more greener. We have a healthier tree canopy. The air feels cooler. And I would encourage just the city and New York City Parks to make more of an outreach effort to preserve the minimal trees we have in the neighborhood under the highway, and to encourage them to plant more trees, because, you know, a healthy tree canopy is super critical for asthma-free homes in that part of the neighborhood, and it's just not, the distribution is not equal within the microcosm of Sunset Park.
Great. Thank you so much for your call, Janet. Let's take another call. Daniel, calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, Daniel.
How are you? This is a follow-up from the previous caller, I guess. Last year, pruners were coming down our block. I live in Park Slope, which is very tree-lined. And I stopped them midway because they passed the tree in front of our house. And they didn't want to prune it because it was too short. So I watched this tree over 15 years stay the same height that it's been. And I decided to take it upon myself to prune it and water it extensively since spring. And it's now sprouting new branches. So I was wondering if there's anything I can add in terms of food or fertilizer. People tell me I'm not allowed to do that, but I just feel like in this day and age, if you don't take action individually, that this tree would just die.
Thanks for your call, Daniel. Who wants to answer that, Sam or Emily?
I can answer that.
Please do.
The First off, Daniel, what you were told was correct. New Yorkers are not allowed to prune their street trees unless you either get a tree work permit from the Parks Department or you're trained as a citizen pruner by the organization I work for, Trees New York. If the Parks Department catches you pruning a tree without that permission, you can get a fine. In addition, the Parks Department does not allow people to fertilize their trees, and I wouldn't recommend it. And that's because fertilization for trees can cause them to grow in ways that they wouldn't normally in an urban environment, and it can actually make the tree in future more vulnerable to injury. If you want to help your trees, the best thing you can things you can do are cultivate the soil, so break up the soil when it gets all hard and compacted. Watering the tree like it sounds like you've been doing, and also mulching the tree, so putting down wood chips over the soil once it's compacted, and just make sure the wood chips don't touch the trunk of the tree, because that can cause problems as well. And finally, let me just say thank you, Daniel, for the hard work that you've put in helping to care for one of New York City's street trees.
Thank you, Daniel. And we've got another call now from Barry. Hi, Barry.
How are you, sir?
Where are you calling from, Barry?
Yeah, I'm calling from Brooklyn, Canarsie.
All right, and what do you have to say about trees?
Trees. I love trees. Who don't love trees? But we live in a city that we're not living in the forest. And the problem I have with trees is that they plant a lot of trees that grow too big. You need to control the trees that you plant or the species of trees that you plant, because it's causing a lot of problems. The roots goes into the drain. It blocks up your drain at your house. The leaves is all over in the gutter, and it's a problem. I come home, I have to clean like 10, 15 bags of leaf from my driveway, and I'm not living in the country. So, you know, it breaks up the sidewalk, and it's a problem also. Like I said, don't get me wrong. I have no problem with trees, just the type of trees that get huge, so huge, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Barry. Barry's not an anti-tree New Yorker, but clearly there's a lot of work when you got a lot of trees around. So, I don't know. Sam, any thoughts about that? Like, you know, what is the burden that New Yorkers have to deal with in this respect? And, you know, is there some sort of middle ground that they have to find?
Like Barry was saying, that's unfortunately trees come with maintenance for them. They're like any other kind of infrastructure. You know, as soon as it goes in, things have to be done to care for it, and it does create some challenges. Specifically, just to deal with one or two of the things that Barry said for the sidewalk issue, the New York City Parks Department does have the Trees and Sidewalks program that can help with damaged sidewalks by repairing the sidewalks, and you can just call 311 and ask for the Trees and Sidewalks program for more information about that. And then in terms of the size of the trees, unfortunately, as Emily was talking about with canopy cover, a lot of our tree benefits come from the canopy cover. So the bigger the tree, the bigger the canopy cover, the bigger the benefits. That said, the Parks Department does work very hard to make sure that they get the right size trees for every space. So, for example, if it's below electrical or other utility lines, obviously they'll plant a smaller tree there.
Emily, is there something like, I don't know, is tree equity an issue? Like when you have different neighborhoods, is that something that has been quantified in any sense? Or is it go up and down depending on, you know, whether a neighborhood is more well-to-do or not?
Yeah, tree equity is a huge issue. But just briefly, also, if anybody has a tree root that they think is growing into a pipe, check your pipes. It happens when pipes are broken. But tree equity, what we see in trees across New York City, and this really, we do see this in other cities as well, is that we tend to see less tree canopy cover in lower income communities and communities of color. These are also often our most heat vulnerable communities. And some of these are really a historical artifact of, you know, tactics like redlining. But at the same time, while the city is doing a really nice job of investing in street trees and maintaining them, there are some property types, both private property, but also properties like New York City Housing Authority campuses, schools, and other public property that don't receive the same level of investment as parks. And so about 53.5% of our canopy is managed by New York City parks, but the other nearly 47% is on other property types. So when we seek to advance tree equity, right, to get more green in our neighborhoods that are lower income, communities of color, more heat vulnerable, we need to not only look at parks and sidewalks, but also at NYCHA campuses, at private property, at schools, and all the other property kinds.
You said that that this was sort of an artifact of redlining. What did you mean by that when you said about less trees?
Yeah, so there is, and I would encourage anybody who's listening, who's interested, please read our report, State of the Urban Forest in NYC, specifically the chapter on equity. But when we look at neighborhoods that were subject to historic redlining practices, e.g., you know, loans being preferentially given or denied based on race, often sometimes religion as well, we see that those neighborhoods that were rated lower and therefore where loans were often denied often have less tree canopy. And that tells us that there is an artifact when, you know, disinvestment occurs. Trees are critical natural infrastructure, so they were part of the disinvestment.
I'm curious. I mean, if a neighborhood is, say, a low-rise kind of neighborhood versus one with, say, a lot of high-rises, does that, Sam, affect the kinds of trees that will thrive there?
It can. In some cases with neighborhoods that have a lot of high-rises, you wind up with very shady streets, so then Parks Department has to change its planting palette a little bit, or if you have very narrow areas, sometimes they have to plant somewhat smaller trees. But I would also say to all the equity issues, anyone can request a street tree for any address in New York City by calling 311 or going to the New York City Parks Department's website too. So if you would like a street tree, you know, certainly please do that. It can take a while because of demand, but the Parks Department, as long as they can physically plant a tree there in the space and like there's no utilities in the ground or anything like that, they will.
And we've got to wrap it up, but Emily, any final thoughts about if someone wants to get involved with this, what's the first step they take?
So we would love it if you would visit Forest for All. That's the written out for, not number, forestforall.nyc. Please read the New York City Urban Forest Agenda. And the thing I can tell everybody is stewardship is about everything Sam said, but it's also about being a good advocate. Let your elected officials know we need more funding for our urban forest. We need better maintenance. We need more trees planted. And thank you so much for having me.
Emily and Sam, thanks so much for joining us. And coming up next, we're going to have a conversation about a new documentary. It's called Miha. This is All of It.